Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello.
Hello.
See what time it is?
Oh my God.
How are you doing?
Past my bedtime. It actually is past my bedtime.
So it's 12 minutes past 10 at night.
It's ridiculous.
So it's not even just that you go to bed at a baby bedtime at 9 o'clock or whatever it is. Mm. It's you then read for an hour.
Well, yeah, give it. And I have my audio book for a bit.
But are we past the point at which you turn the light and the audiobook off?
No, I've got, like, let's say 18 minutes left before I might just fall asleep.
It's so weird to me.
Oh, no,
it's
I know.
So weird. This would be like me doing the podcast at 2 a.m. or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, birthday season's over. My wife, my son and I all had birthdays within a fortnight of each other.
Didn't plan that very well, did you?
No, we really didn't think it through.
No. Very intense. Was it very intense?
It is intense. It's in some ways it feels exciting. It's almost like an Advent thing where it's all happening and it's the season to have birthdays. But then the rest of the year can feel a little sparse.
I've got a question about it. What's your rule regarding birthday cards? Do they all stay up so it's like a terrible cardy mess? Or do they have to come down the day of the next person's birthday?
Oh, no, it's a big cardy mess.
Oh, I love a big cardy mess. Great.
They'll probably come down tomorrow. I think they stay up a week for about a week after the last birthday.
Okay. Well, me and Tom are 2 weeks apart and the rule is, unfortunately, mine go down when his go up.
Really?
Yeah, I might go for a cardy mess next year.
Yeah, I think cardy mess is good because what it does is it disguises the fact that you only get a meagre. It's an ever decreasing amount of cards you get as you get older, unless there's a zero involved.
Yeah.
Then you get this lovely blip. Whereas last year I felt very popular, and then this year I might be down to one hand.
Okay, that sounds normal to me. Yeah,
normal is
yeah.
Oh, Annabelle, that's sad.
What, 5 cards?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, I just want to make the point. You've got a lover.
Boyfriend.
And a son.
Yeah, but they do a joint one.
Okay. So not making you a card?
Oh, no. Sometimes, no.
your parents are alive.
Yep.
You have a sister.
Yep.
I'm guessing your brother doesn't factor into it.
Don't be silly.
There's me.
Yeah.
So I think there's a guaranteed 4.
Mm.
It makes me feel sad that there's only one person.
I'm counting and I think I've probably got 8 this year.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's all right then. Yeah. I think the truth is I got 8, but I want to get back into double figures.
I think what you have to do is you have to start sending them to other people and then they feel obliged.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Send them with your birthday at the bottom.
Yes.
That works really well, I find.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Mm. So for Sarah's birthday, we took her out for this nice meal and a terrible thing happened on the way.
Oh, no.
This is genuinely awful.
Oh, what? Go on.
we get off the bus and we're rushing to get to the tube station. And we've booked a table for 6 o'clock. So as we're heading to go into central London for this meal, it's rush hour, so a lot of people are coming in the other direction. So it's all a bit frantic. And we're moving along the pavement and Sarah's leading the charge. And then I'm slightly behind her is me. And then Gina's trailing a little bit behind me, but not very far behind me, because the reason that I'm not in pole position in the lead is I'm responsible for him.
Okay.
We're that little gang. But I'm trying to rush him. So I'm going slightly faster than his pace. Then I hear this clatter and a woman's voice go, "Oh!" What has happened? And I turn round, and what I see is Jean has bumped into a blind woman and knocked her white stick out of her hand.
No.
So straight away, of course, because I'm a normal person, I go back the few steps, say, I'm so sorry, let me get that for you. I'll give that for you. I'm sorry about that. And she is livid. She's really angry. She's, well, you should be sorry. And I think, well, I know I should be sorry. That's why I'm saying sorry. But I also understand that's an awful thing to happen to you. She's going, you need to look where you're going, or he needs to look where he's going. And so I say, oh, I'm sorry. He's just a little kid. She's like, it doesn't matter that he's just a little kid. He should be looking where he's going.
She's angry.
I say, well, and I genuinely understand, right? I genuinely understand that she's angry, because the world is a hard place,
and it would have
to
been
to be visually impaired, and a lot of people who've lived that life probably feel quite angry at the world,
right?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But I said, he's just a little kid. She said, well, he should be looking where he's going. I said, well, you know, he makes mistakes, but I'm really sorry. You know, is there anything else I can do for you? She's like, well, yeah, you should be looking out for where your kid's going then. I'm saying, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I should have been. But, you know, these things unfortunately happen and I feel bad about it. I'm sorry. She said, well, you should be sorry. You're a bad parent.
Oh, no. Oh.
And what I can see is that, like, out of the corner of my eye, Gene's getting really upset.
Oh.
Because he'd said sorry. Yeah. Like, he didn't mean for this to happen. And he is a little kid who's made a mistake, all make mistakes. But she is livid and she is not accepting the apology. What is my worst trigger?
People not accepting an apology.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I'm sorry, is there something else? Because I'm apologising, and I'll apologise as much as you like, but if there's, you seem very unhappy. If there's something else I can do, let me know. And she's just like ranting at me. I'm going, I'm sorry. So she starts walking off ranting, and I'm shouting after her, I'm sorry. What else do you want me to do? I'll do what if you need something else, I'll do it. I've said sorry. I don't know what else. I'm sorry. And she's like swearing and going off in the distance, and off it goes. And it's like this horrible thing. So then as I go to rejoin Sarah and Jean, there's a group of men who are loading some stuff from a shop into a car. And like my first thought is, if somebody's filmed that, I'm going to be one of these hate figures.
Oh, no.
Who's like shouting at a blind woman in the street.
Oh, my God.
Now, all I'm shouting is sorry, but it does turn into a bit of a shouting match. But I realise that isn't what happened. To them, I've become like this hero.
Really?
So they're like, you were in the right. You were so in the right.
Oh, yes. Love it.
And that was a nice moment. And then a second later, a guy on a bicycle has done a U-turn in the road and he's come alongside us. And he says, can I have a word with you? I say, sure. And Sarah thinks, oh, there's something off about this guy. So she gets Gina out of the way. And he says, I just want to say, good on you for...
What's going on?
I know, right?
What's happening?
And then he tells me a story about he was on that same stretch of road, like some time before. And he was waiting to cross the road. And next to him was a blind person with a guide dog, and the guide dog, let's not blame here, but wasn't doing it, hadn't done its job properly. And it was about to guide the man into the road in front of a lorry.
Right.
So he kind of, to save the guy, just like grabbed him and said, "Oh, sorry, mate, there's a lorry there." And then what happened? I guess whoever he tried to save was shocked and surprised, you know, by it, and started, launched into like a tirade of very bad words
against him.
And he wanted, so this guy, the guy on the bike who'd saved the guy and then been on the receiving end of the swearing, he then wanted to tell me this story. And I just think, God, what has happened here that I have become the person who, seeing people who've got some kind of grudge or bad experience with blind people now feel that I'm the safe person to come to and tell me about what's happened to them.
No.
Right. I've become the person to say, like, finally somebody I can talk about the blind to and not feel judged, which isn't what I want to be.
They'll relate.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So if you do feel like that, please don't email me in with... Please don't email him. I don't want to be that person.
Right, yeah.
Annabelle.
Yes.
How are the Drifters doing in terms of their correspondence? Are they sparking joy?
Of course they are.
Good, good.
Of course they are. First one, this is appropriate because we are at Eurovision Eve, kind of. Eurovision Song Contest on Saturday. Grand Chancellor Sharon says, "One of my closest friends is a Eurovision fanatic, and lots of bands, past and present, were in the UK a couple of weekends ago. This particular event should have got my Drifter radar flashing on high alert from the outset, so I don't know why I agreed to go. Actually, I do. It was cheap, and I wanted to be a good friend." Oh, you know how to pronounce this. One of the bands was Kate. They're from Norway. They represented Norway in 2019. Keino,
K-E-I-I-N-O. I don't know.
Oh, I think of you as someone who'd know how to say that. I'm going to say Keino.
Okay.
One of the bands was Keino, a three-piece ensemble that represented Norway in 2019 and a real favourite with the Eurovision connoisseurs. They were playing a gig at a small venue in London, preceded by, and it sends shudders down my spine to type these words, a meet and greet. I haven't been to one of these before. The closest I've got is a book signing. Very transactional. A long queue, so you were moved on quickly. Handbook over. Say who to sign it for. Leave. Easy. It was only the night before that the true horror of what was to come started to sink in. What do I say? I only vaguely know two of their songs. One of their band is a Sami, and my friend had mentioned that his family heard it.
Oh, that's why I don't get the pronunciation. It's different. The words in the
north,
like the Sami dialects are different.
Okay. And my friend had mentioned that his family herded reindeer. But when I suggested that I could ask how many reindeer he has, my friend recoiled in horror at the pure offensiveness of such a question. I therefore decided not to overthink it, applying the pre-port protocol, pretend it's never going to happen. Oh, I love that. As the event could be cancelled. It wasn't. As we stood in the queue to meet the band, the full dread of what was about to happen sank in. My mind was completely blank. I have absolutely nothing to say and no connection to the band or their music whatsoever. We were ushered through. My friend, not a Drifter, launched straight in, chattering away with two of the band members like they were old friends. All I could muster was a feeble hello. Strong flashbacks to being a small child, wanting to hide behind my parents' legs whenever they did a stop and chat while out and about. But this is ridiculous. I'm 51. Pull yourself together. I must say something, particularly as myself and the Sami band member were stood like awkward onlookers to the conversation that was now high energy and in full flow. So here we are. I'm going in. How long are you in the UK for? A really bland opener, but all I could muster. As he started to reply, it was clear he'd misheard what I said and thought the question I'd asked was, have you been to the UK before? As he started to recount all previous visits. I wasn't going to correct him now that we'd struck up some vague form of conversation. Just style it out. All okay until he said, and we played the London Eurovision party last year, to which I replied, yes, I saw you there. There was an uncomfortable pause. He looked perplexed and confused, clearly thinking, why did you ask if I've been to the UK before when you clearly know that I have? There is no recovery from this. My one question had exhausted my small talk repertoire, so we both just stood there awkwardly and returned to being bystanders to the far more engaging conversation my friend and his bandmates were having. We were saved by getting ushered to have our picture taken and then moved on for the next in queue. Regrettably, my plan to apply the port protocol and put it all behind me and just enjoy the gig were thwarted. Because both of us being short in stature, my friend insisted we stand right at the front of the very small stage. This caused three discomforts. Firstly, it put us at eye level with the crotches of the band. Secondly, it meant lots of eye contact from the band as they scanned the crowd. Thirdly, it was very obvious that I was the only one there that didn't know any of their music.
Oh, no.
As everyone else was singing along, fist pumping the air at the appropriate moments. Well, I just did the occasional sway and knee bop and closed my mouth like a goldfish as I tried to guess the words. I definitely did not blend in. The whole experience made me wonder about the purpose of the meet and greet, other than for the band to earn some extra pennies. Surely they can't enjoy it either. Anyway, suffice to say, I won't be doing any more in the future.
Well, I mean, you very correctly identified why meet and greets exist.
To get money.
Yeah, yeah. So you can sell more expensive tickets or bonus tickets. So, yeah. But so then my feeling on that is the responsibility is entirely on the person who's greeting or meeting.
Yeah, because they're the ones being paid.
Yeah.
They can put it on a little show for you.
Part of what you're paying for is for them to be socially charming with you.
Interesting.
And make it easy and not uncomfortable.
So what we're saying is don't blame yourself, Sharon. Blame them.
Exactly.
Good. Okay, let's move on then to splendid Baron Andrew.
I also don't quite understand why the reindeer questions are... Is it that they would feel judged on the size of their herd?
No, it's just stereotyping a culture, probably.
Oh, I thought, hadn't we already established that they did have reindeer?
There might be some oversensitivity there, but I do understand that.
Yeah, I completely understand the stereotyping a culture. But if it's a fact about...
Yeah.
If you know somebody's a reindeer farmer and you ask them about their reindeer, that's not the same as knowing somebody is a Sami and asking them if they've got any reindeer.
Yeah, but if they're a Sami and the first thing you say to them is ask about their reindeers, is that an issue? Maybe about you is your own reindeer.
Yes.
So I think it might be a slight
problem. But in your defense, I also think, you know, often when we're reaching for a thing to talk to somebody about, their job is often a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And it would have been a more interesting conversation, I'm sure.
Much more interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, let's move on.
Good. I enjoyed that. It's
me too.
Really giving me food for thought.
Got you warmed up for Eurovision.
The next time I meet a Sami.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Splendid Baron Andrew. A few weeks ago, I took my wife to see Moulin Rouge, the musical at the Piccadilly Theatre. Mm. Moulin Rouge is her favourite movie. And because I'm such a swell guy, I booked us can-can seats situated right at the front with their own little table, almost as if you have a seat at the famous Parisian nightclub itself.
Ooh.
Not only this, once the show starts, the mechanical staging encircles these seats, so the performers are both in front of you and behind you. Mm. It also means that once the show starts, you're genuinely trapped there. Before the show started, an usher came up to us and said, "Well, as you can see, you've got the best seats in the house. It's like you're part of the show, but please do not sing along." Noted, I thought. And then he goes on as a brief sidebar for Quandary Corner, which we're going to come back to, about singing along at musicals. We should come back to that.
Okay.
The show starts and dancers fill the stage. It's not long before the can-can itself begins. And not long after that, I am kicked in the back of the head by a can-can dancer. Only I could get kicked in the head by a can-can dancer at the Moulin Rouge. What do I do? My wife sees what has happened, but I attempted to play it down. Obviously, the show is a steam train that just keeps going, and I'm trapped by the immersive staging. But it really hurts, and I reach up to my head and find that it is actually bleeding slightly. Still, there is literally no question of me getting up in front of all these people to see if I need some kind of medical attention. So naturally, I sit holding my head and smiling until the end of Act One, about an hour later. Even I was determined to mention something to the usher in the interval, though. I know it was an accident, but I didn't pay to get kicked in the head. And they were solicitous and kind. And aside from a bit of a headache, I was basically fine. They've offered us complimentary tickets to see another performance. But now I'm worried. What if they want to finish the job? Lovely.
I wonder what else you get. You're not hearing that story thinking compensation.
Yeah, yeah, of course. How can I get complimentary tickets to anything from now onwards?
What else was thinking? We went to the theatre last week. So firstly, that made me think of, I've seen the current production of Cabaret twice.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm one of those weird people who becomes obsessed with a musical. Just we saw it once. Like a couple of years ago, and then somebody we knew was in it, so we went to see it again. And it's brilliant. Like I can't imagine a better production of that. I haven't seen the latest cast change, and I won't be doing.
Who is it?
It's Cara Delevingne. Not that I've got anything against Cara Delevingne, but I'm not going to go and see the same musical three times unless I feel like, oh, somebody I know is in it,
and
I should.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? But some of the more expensive seats, you risk being interacted with. And I think those should be the cheapest.
Yeah.
Like they're getting some people up on stage, in the bit where they're kind of getting ready to come back from the interval. Also, it's phenomenal. It's the performance is a performance where you're watching a stage, but the theatre has been transformed into the Kit Kat Club. In 1930s Berlin. So as you arrive, you know, you're not just going into the foyer, you're going in down a corridor and it feels like you're going into a secret club. And then there's various bendy people or dancers or musicians doing like little turns in spaces like in the bar or on a balcony in the foyer. But because it's cabaret, it's all kind of fishnet stockings and slightly, you know, it's got a slight whiff of depravity to it. And then I'm thinking, I don't know what to do with my face in that situation.
Mm.
I feel like if you're watching somebody doing contortionism, it's impossible to not feel like you have to, like look on like you're some kind of disinterested voyeur at an orgy or something. Do you know what I mean? Like you're getting some kind of weird thrill out of it.
So you're having to concentrate on what your face looks like.
I wish you could just go and see the play without having to do any of that, even though I think probably the majority opinion is that it's the reverse. But or it adds to it, I should say. But like you said, last week we went to see... somebody got Sarah for her birthday tickets to one of the hottest things in town, which is the production of A Picture of Dorian Gray, starring Sarah Snook from Succession, who played Shiv in Succession.
Mm.
And when I say starring, it's a one-woman production, and she plays 26 different parts.
Oh, like what's that Eddie Murphy film? Like that.
What, Coming to America?
No, there's like Dr. Doolittle or something. He plays all the characters.
Or
The Nutty Professor. One of those.
So we were both grateful that somebody had got us nice tickets to a thing because, you know, they knew we liked Succession.
Mm.
But also we were dreading it.
What, because you thought it was going to be bad?
So as soon as, when they announced that months and months ago, I think she's a phenomenal actress, but actor. But I also thought, just because you can play 26 parts doesn't mean that you should play 26 parts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this is just going to be exhausting, and I'm sure she'll do it with aplomb, but the world doesn't need that production. It's masturbatory. There's no value in it. Anyway, I went to see it and it was phenomenal.
Oh.
And I feel like it really... And the reason it's phenomenal is actually because what's going on technically, it really isn't quite what you think it's going to be. And it really pushes the idea of what live theatre could be.
Oh,
and it's one of the few examples of a non-annoying standing ovation I've ever seen.
Oh.
Because I've talked about standing ovations before. Like, I hate the people who start them because I think it's all very look at me. And then I hate being in a position where I think very little deserves standing ovation. I think audiences become too... they're too free with their standing ovations.
Mm.
So you'll go and see something that's quite good, and then someone will stand up and start clapping, then other people will start. Then you think, oh, God, now I have to stand up. But then just because I haven't stood up straight away, it feels like you're the person going, oh, go on then. It does, you know, it go on then. Even I think so. And I hate that feeling. But this was, I've never seen it. It was like three quarters of the audience stood up en masse the second the applause started.
Oh, wow.
And then we were up like 3 seconds later.
I haven't found myself wanting to go to the theatre for like decades, and now I want to go.
Yeah, yeah, it really is good, that good. But also that production of Cabaret, which is like one of the, you know, that play or that, yeah, that script is one of the best things ever written, I think, certainly in our times. Listen, it's culture.
Yeah, culture chat.
Culture,
I can't join in, but I can nod along.
No, but maybe you could go to the first time in decades.
Don't be silly. And
then, yeah. All right, are we done
Where
with emails?
We? Yeah, we're done.
Okay. Send us yours, please. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. All right, Annabelle, what's going on with your Substack then?
Ah, now this week it's for paying subscribers only, £2 a month.
Oh.
Because I've already written about how much money I made from my book and how many copies I sold. And who wouldn't want to know that? My little insight into my experiences of the publishing industry and the success or otherwise, not going to give any spoilers, of my book, Annabelle versus the Internet, which was published 6 years ago now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Where does time go, Annabelle?
I just don't know. So that's annabelleport.substack.com. Have a look. Come and join me.
And do you have another way in which you're not a fully functioning adult?
I do. You know the place that you go to vote in, like local elections, general elections? Mm. What's it called again?
The polling station.
Polling station. Mm-hmm. Polling. Okay. I can never, ever remember how to say this word. I feel like I'm fine with 171,475 words of the English language. No problem at all. Like, I've tried different ways to remember it, but it's like I did something bad to someone once and they contacted someone from the dark side to put a curse on me, but they hadn't thought about it. So maybe on the spur of the moment, they said, oh, make it so she can never remember how to say the name of the place where you can vote. That's the only answer, because it's so weird. When we were doing the radio show, I once did a thing where I was trying to get the baby button mushroom band. Who knows why? Let's not question it now. A lot of airtime to fill. And it involved me doing a referendum, which happened to be on the same day as an actual referendum in the UK, something about the voting system I've long forgotten. So I tried to do mine at my local polling station.
Polling.
So in the course of this feature, I was saying the word a lot. And you didn't bother correcting me until the very end. And when it got home, it turned out that Tom had been in a car with a friend listening, and the friend had never heard me on the radio before. And Tom said a bit of him died each time I said this word wrong. Honestly, it's almost enough to make me want to dispense with the vote and live in a dictatorship. If you had any interest at all in how my mushroom referendum went, I'm surprised you haven't asked.
I was there.
you can remember. At the polling station, they rang the election office.
Why are you saying it twice?
Because I can't remember which is the right one.
I told you polling, at the beginning it's polling.
Polling. At the polling station, they rang the election office to see if I could do mine alongside theirs. But they didn't answer, so they rang Louise, who said I could do it outside. Honestly, it's amazing what people let you do if you ask. I do miss those things a lot. I feel like I couldn't do them now, though, because it just feels undignified now I'm nearly 50 and have a child. And I don't know why. Why does it feel undignified? But it does.
Because it was always undignified.
True. That's so true. Anyway, my son's school is a polling station. Mm-hmm. It's the same one as the button mushroom one, but nobody remembers me, so that's good. I just want to give some advice to anyone with a young child who is deciding what school to apply for them. Check it's not a polling station. Too many days off. Is your son's school a polling station?
It's not, no.
Okay. Too many days off each year. Honestly, it's like one a year. It's terrible. Now, I was having a conversation with one of my son's friends about this very issue. And as I dived into it, I realised with horror that I was going to have to say the word polling and I didn't know how to do it. So I could feel myself cantering out of control towards that moment. So this is what I decided to do. Instead, I called it the voting station. What an idiot! That's worse than mispronouncing it. I noticed you didn't follow my cue and start calling it a voting station. She went with polling. It was so embarrassing. I did also find out, though, that her son's school is not her polling station. She has to go somewhere else. So it's so terrible for her because it's closed, but she doesn't. Her school's closed for her kid, but she doesn't get to go in it. And I love going inside my son's school. I had this idea that across the school year, each parent gets one day where they get to watch through a secret peephole to see what their child is like at school. And the kids don't find out until they're 18 or something. Wouldn't that be great?
I'm not sure installing peepholes in schools
is What? How about we have a referendum on it at your local voting station? Polling.
It's polling.
Oh, it's polling! Death! Polling!
I think that's exactly what happened the last
time. Oh, God! It never ends.
If you ask me how to say something...
Polling.
But what do you think? No, knowing me for all these years, what am I going to do? Tell you the right way or tell you the wrong way and then just sit and listen to you mispronounce it?
Maybe I remember it now. Maybe the trauma of this will help me.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I've had to go back to the doctors since we last spoke and get more antibiotics.
Oh my God, will it ever end?
And I'm not going in there begging for antibiotics. I just want to say, like, antibiotic resistance is deeply concerning to me. But there are this house being like a plague house, has meant that things haven't been doing quite what they should, and we've not. We all needed to be on longer courses and whatever. So I go to the doctors and explain the situation, and because of what's been going on, he's very happy to give the antibiotics, and we're chatting, and the conversation goes off in another direction, and then at some stage he says, "Did you say it was your grandson who's also been on antibiotics?"
Grandson.
Yeah.
Oh God, this is the second time this has happened recently.
The next day.
Yeah.
So that was on the Friday. On the Saturday, Jean and I were at the bus stop, and a lady started talking to us, and at the end of the conversation, we went to get on our bus. She was waiting for another different one, and she said to him, "Have a nice day with your granddad."
Oh. Jeff, I don't think you're even old enough to even, like, technically be a granddad. Like, you'd have to have been, like, Jim Slip Dad and Jim Slip Dad.
My sister, who's 6 years younger than I am, is a grandma.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
But was she a Jim Slip Mum?
Was she a Jim Slip Mum? Yeah.
I'm not great at maths, as we can see.
Yeah.
So you could be a granddad. That's okay then. Do you feel better now?
No. I don't want to be giving off a granddad vibe when I'm out with my son. In the world.
Were you offering
just because I like sharing my word as originals? Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I like cooking up some Heinz soup and talking about telling about the olden days.
Is that what you're doing? There must be some reason.
I don't know.
Why are you giving off granddad advice?
That
maybe
guy...
you're being too nice to your son.
Oh, it might be that.
Yeah, you're being too engaged
like
with
spoiling him. Yeah. And I just look old and broken.
No,
I do. That soup guy, I just remember. He was from Macclesfield.
Was he?
He was like the most famous. I want to say like the most famous person from Macclesfield, but I think he was the most. So Joy Division, Ian Curtis was from Macclesfield, and Stephen Morris, the drummer. But like people didn't care about that in Macclesfield,
right?
Because they were like weird indie alternative things.
Yeah.
But there was scarcely a week went by without the local paper, the Macclesfield Express Advertiser, mentioning the guy who was in the Heinz soup advert, Johnny Maxfield.
You remember his name still?
Yeah, because he was every week. It was a stage name based on Macclesfield. So that happened. What else was I going to tell you about? Oh, I texted you on Saturday. Jean and I went to, when we were having our fun grandfather and grandson day out, we went to an indoor crazy golf, and it was definitely crazy rather than mini because the holes were kind of wacky.
Okay.
And as you, it's all screens, and as you go to check in, you can see the names of the other people who booked for the day because you do it all online. And I noticed the name Joanne O'Meara because there's a member of S Club 7 called Joe O'Meara, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's not the most unusual name, but it's unusual enough. That you would notice it and think, oh, I wonder if it's the one from S Club 7. And then what also is great is you can see the names of the players. So I could see who she was playing with. And it was Joanne O'Meara. And then it was Scarlett Bradley and Danny.
Right.
So I got excited. I don't really know very much about S Club 7, but I thought, all those sound like the sort of names of people who would be in S Club 7. Like maybe some of the surviving members of S Club 7.
Yeah.
Two thirds, in fact, because there's six of them now, isn't there?
Right.
So four would equal two thirds. Are going to be playing crazy golf later. So then I start Googling it and there's no Scarlett. There is a Bradley.
Right.
So I think, okay, it could be a third of S Club 7 and their partners, perhaps.
Fine, yeah.
And then this name Danny, there isn't a Danny in S Club 7. But in my head, S Club 7 and Hearsay got mixed up.
Oh, Danny from Hearsay, yeah.
And but then I thought, you know, I bet S Club 7 and Hearsay are friends.
It'd be like
not mining class.
Like a work stay out, wouldn't it? Like people in the same job as you.
Yeah. So then I started Googling Danny from Hearsay to see if there was anything on his Instagram about going to play crazy golf.
Oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this.
It's like checking his stories later in the
day.
And there wasn't because almost exclusively what he posts about is like wellness and spirituality and mindfulness because he's repositioned himself as a guru.
He's
now a guru.
I did not expect that.
It's quite the pivot, isn't it?
Yeah.
So especially when you think about those members of Hearsay. I think he was often like, what are the jokes, wasn't he, Danny?
I think
they used
he
to
was,
say he looked like Shrek.
It was the very early days of the singing contest, and I think if it was now, I'm not sure he would have got through.
Do you think any of them would?
Good point. Yeah,
like maybe Mylene Class on Britain's Got Talent playing classical piano, but more likely she'd just be on that thing with Claudia Winkleman and Mika in a train station. So that happened. And then I have one more thing to tell you about, and this is genuinely bad.
Okay.
I was, the other day, alone at home, treating myself to a luxurious bowel movement.
Okay.
I'm sitting on the lavatory. My phone rings. And it's a friend of mine. And she's one of these people. If I say her name, I think, oh, I'll answer that because I like this person. And also, she's got a sense of humour on her. So if the room is echoey or if I feel I'm going to go with it, I'll get a laugh by talking about the fact that I'm currently sitting with my pants around my ankles and needing to wipe. You know, she'll find that funny.
Yeah.
So I think, great, I'll answer it. I answer the phone. Say, hey, how are you? Don't mention the toilet because she's not good. And she's ringing to tell me that her father has died.
Oh, no.
And like, she's sobbing. Then I feel so disrespectful.
Because you carry on. You do.
But what do you do? I can't say.
You're saying that.
You can't have somebody break the news to you that their parent is dead and then go, do you know what? I've just taken a big dump and I need to clean up back there. Can I call you back in 5?
Oh, my God.
Because you've just got to let them yes. say stuff, and then you've got to say the things you say, oh. you know, to a grieving person. You've got to offer the condolences and just, like, be there in the moment with them.
Oh, this is too weird.
But it almost, but not quite, makes me think I shouldn't answer the phone when I'm on the toilet.
What, because you think it's a cursed thing now?
I've got 51 years without it happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good run, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. Everyone's getting older. These calls do come more frequently.
Yeah, yeah, maybe don't.
Yeah. Okay, quandary corner at the GLAP clinic here in Problematic.
Sorry, my computer's just died. Oh, it's come alive again.
Ah.
Oh, we're going to start off with the musical one that was from Andrew.
Oh, yes.
Let me just go back to what he said. Hold on. So he says, I am firmly of the opinion that you never sing along at musicals. We've paid to hear the performers. My wife disagrees. What do you think? We could also extend this to concerts as well. But anyway, he mentions musicals. What are your thoughts?
Okay.
What is the correct behaviour in this situation?
So I want to be very clear here. I think the rules are different at concerts and musicals.
Okay, tell me your firm rules.
Okay, firm rules is you do not sing along at a musical. With the exception that some of the jukebox musicals, I think, like, Mamma Mia, have a thing at the end where for an encore, they do some big hits and get all the audience singing along.
Oh, so it's a sing-along. Yeah.
Aside from that, you are quite right. You do not sing along at a musical. That's very poor behaviour.
I think I never thought about it before, but now I strongly agree with you because you're there to hear people who are brilliant at singing.
Mm. Yeah. It's a performance.
But maybe that would apply to a concert then. You're there to hear them sing, not yourself.
No,
there's something nice about singing along, though.
But that's
there?
Not the rules of a rock concert or a pop concert, is it?
Okay, so tell me the rules. I think I know what they are, but tell me yours.
Musicals, no.
Yeah.
Rock or pop concert, yes.
But
what is the but? It's in some way song contingent or section of song contingent.
Yeah, for me, so it's a big sing-along chorus.
Yeah, I think with fast songs, it's okay throughout.
Yeah, oh, please.
With slow songs,
no,
join in if it's an anthemic chorus.
Yes, totally agree.
Okay?
Totally agree.
And then don't do it at the opera.
You don't? Okay, but I didn't. Great.
Yeah.
Well, very clear cut rules. Good. I enjoyed that. Let's move on then to Paul. I was just wondering what you should do when you find yourself walking directly behind someone on a path and walking at the same pace. Just stay there like a lingering serial killer. Stop and wait a while, pretending all of a sudden to be hugely interested in some paving stones or nearby fauna. Or awkwardly increase your pace to a half shuffle or half run to overtake them. As far as I can see, whatever you do, you end up looking weird.
I disagree. I disagree with the whatever you do, you end up looking weird.
Okay.
So I think what you don't do is you don't be at somebody's heels.
Definitely not.
Okay, so that's the worst one. Mm. So if somebody is walking too close behind me, I always stop and look at something, either pretend to tie my shoelace,
phone,
or get my phone out, or look in an estate agent's or other shop window. Or if I'm walking with Sarah and there's people like two up in our business behind us, one of us will say to the other, "Oh, have you seen this?" And then we'll pretend to look at something until
is that your code?
Yeah,
you got a code for it.
Yeah. And we do that frequently because we both really hate it.
Oh.
And on your own, you don't need to do the code. You can just do it. So then, so that's how I deal with it if I'm on the receiving end of it.
Mm.
You know, if I'm conscious that I'm too close to somebody, I tend to go for the overtake.
I think it's missed something out very crucial here. Cross the road. That's what I would do.
But sometimes maybe you're not in a crossing the road situation.
Oh, if that's
type
possible.
Type of road.
Particularly if it's late at night and it's a woman.
Yeah,
I beg you.
Oh, and if you're too close to a woman.
Oh, God.
At night.
Yeah.
Just cross the road and take 30 seconds.
And pretend to make a phone call where you sound nice and normal.
Yeah. Just, you know, give her give her room, give her a head start.
Or go on ahead, because then she can see you.
Yeah.
I don't like someone behind me. It makes me nervous.
No, but if you're going to go ahead, don't overtake from directly behind her. Go across the road.
Firm rules. Good.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. But so if you're too close to somebody, I think it just depends on how much of a rush you're in.
Mm.
So you either overtake, because I'm usually like too close to somebody because I walk fast.
Mm-hmm.
Or think, be like the caramel bunny and be like, hey, slow down. What's the rush?
Yeah, what is the rush?
Often, like, got to catch a train and meet someone.
Just nervous energy
go to the
pushing
cinema,
you on.
Nervous energy. Yeah. So, like either go caramel bunny and slow down, or overtake, but do not. Do not maintain that distance. Terrible behavior. Terrible.
Okay.
Good.
Easily solved this week. Good.
Hooray. And that's our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have a quandary for Quandary Corner, if you have a story for us, or anything for us, you know, please, an observation on life as a drifter, do send it to us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And one quick question. How many reindeers have you got? Podication time. This comes from Mel.
Hello, Mel.
That is a mysterious name, isn't it? Who are you, Mel?
It's Melanie.
Oh. Do you know that for a fact?
I do.
Oh. Thanks for ruining it. Is it a Melvin?
Sorry.
Is that Melanie? Okay. Mel says, Dear Jeff and Annabelle, I would like to give a podication to my incredible friend Naomi. I haven't done this earlier because I've been very stressed out about the spelling of podication. Is it podocation or is it podercation? I plumped for podication, as in a portmanteau of podcast and dedication. That's right. You made the right decision.
Correct.
Sometimes people get it wrong.
It's fine. I don't care.
I don't. It's a made up word.
Exactly.
I mean, all words are.
True. Yeah.
But we haven't got this one into the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yet. I mean, we've been doing it for about 20 years, but still, yet.
This is probably obvious to 99% of your listeners, but it wasn't to me. And thinking about the spelling has taken up an incredible amount of brain space for the last few months. I was really hoping that was going to say years. much more than I'd like to admit. It's doing something for you. Your brain's processing something else, and that's the Trojan horse, I'm sure.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
It's the way that sometimes you have good ideas when you're trying to solve a crossword clue or something. Like you've got some need to keep the front bit of your brain ready while the rest of it's getting on with something consequential. Does that make sense?
It does.
It's based on nothing other than a hunch.
I thought it was something that you'd read. Okay.
No, it sounds like the sort of thing a neuroscientist would say.
Yeah.
It's got the ring of authenticity to it, but I'm basing it on nothing.
Okay, great.
You may, of course, have covered this in previous episodes.
No.
I'm sorry if I missed it.
Never.
I don't remember previous episodes, but it doesn't feel like something we've ever talked about.
No.
Anyhow, back to Naomi.
Mm.
We first met at work, and I instantly knew that we'd be friends. Imagine my delight when I found out that she's a drifter too. I mean, just statistically, that is mind-boggling.
Extraordinary. Like, that's like a one in a million.
Well,
more than that.
Yeah.
One in a trillion. Wow.
No, come on. Let's...
All right, billion.
I don't know. I feel there's a number that isn't quite so upsetting, but
all right, million then, one in a million.
I think I think it's. I don't think it's as good as that though. we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I'm not good with these things.
I'm not good at maths.
She gifted me a drifter badge, which I proudly wear on a backpack. Aww. It is yet to generate any discussion from any passers-by. There we go.
The odds are back, like where they should be. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if anything, oh no, I'm really thinking about this now. So if anything, more people are seeing it in the outside world. So there's much more chance of a drifter seeing it than being in any like small workplace.
Yeah, yeah.
But the chances of a drifter actually
saying
to you,
anything, true.
Even though that's like it's like you've got a secret symbol. It's like you're wearing a secret symbol.
I'd be so thrilled if I saw someone too. With a badge.
Me too.
I wouldn't say anything, though.
No. It would be especially dickish if we said something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of my point.
Hi?
Yeah. So, my badge. God, so embarrassing.
Sorry for missing your point as well.
That's all right.
There's nothing worse than having to go. Yeah, that's the point I was making. No. Like, that's not your point. You're just repeating what I said.
Well, I was making both points.
Yeah. I've got a lot of experience in my marriage of saying something, it not landing,
right,
and then my wife saying it louder and getting a big laugh for it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's so painful.
In some ways, it's an act of kindness because, you know, she's giving my material the platform it deserves.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, why didn't you like it when I said it? Naomi has been an incredible support to me over the last few years, so much more so than I could possibly articulate here. She's just one of the best human beings that I have had the pleasure of meeting. Many thanks, Mel. I'm glad the two of you met.
Me too. So glad.
Yeah. Trouble is, when we get an email like this, I invariably start making it about how good it makes me feel. But I want this to be for Mel and Naomi. So do you know what I'm going to do? Shut my hole.
Okay. And besides, it's very much past my bedtime. It's like 4 a.m. for you.
It's 8:58 now. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. All right, there we go. If you would like a podcation, we would like to make that wish come true. Email us. It is hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.